Peel has already experienced phenomenal growth over the past decade, literally transforming itself from a sleepy farming community into a vibrant urban and rural community that is now the second largest municipality in Ontario. Many of you, myself included, have witnessed this astounding growth with awe and I think with some concern too. In particular, poor air quality, traffic congestion, loss of green space, agricultural lands, the challenge of keeping up with the necessary infrastructure investments which have not been made over the course of time. That growth brings challenges, but it also brings opportunities, and it does also bring some costs. So our challenge is quite simple. How do we maximize our opportunities and avoid some of the pitfalls of rapid growth and also reduce our costs? Now, as this region continues to grow from 1 million residents to a projected 1.6 over the next generation, the opportunities are enormous. But so are the concerns. All of this leads to the kinds of things that I mentioned earlier: more traffic, longer commutes to and from work, limited public transit, communities where you're compelled to use a car for every interaction outside the home. And that leads to the vicious circle of environmental degradation, loss of key natural spaces, worst of all, the effects on human health, the drag on our economic opportunities. There's no question, in my mind, no question, I think, in the larger community as well, that we have to change. The question is not if we're change. The question is how we'll change. But I have no doubt that as we answer that question, that the leadership here in Peel is more than up to meeting that challenge. Already, the region of Peel is working ambitiously toward intensifying its downtown cores, working absolutely diligently to protect rural and agricultural lands, to providing community and social services, and to investing in critical infrastructures that will make Peel not only livable and sustainable, but will make Peel enviable. There is clearly a bright future ahead for this region, but your task and mine is to aspire to even greater heights. And the vision that you've articulated is shared by Premier McGuinty and our government: strong communities, a clean and healthy environment, a prosperous economy, and the main driver is an outstanding quality of life. To aspire to anything less would be a disservice, would be to rob future generations. But a vision is nothing more than a chimera without the will and, of course, the tools and resources to make it a reality. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. One of the most critical steps towards realizing a livable Peel and a livable Greater Golden Horseshoe and a livable province was taken with the recent establishment of the Greenbelt, a 1.8 million acre swath of environmentally sensitive lands protected in perpetuity, or as I prefer to describe it, a proud legacy that we will leave to our children. In its most simple terms, the Greenbelt outlines where we will not grow. The unanswered corollary then is, well, where and how and what form the growth will take place. And that question was answered in June with the passage of the Places to Grow Act, a historic piece of legislation that I had the enormous honor and privilege of ushering through the legislative process. This legislation enables the government to designate growth areas in the province of Ontario, to develop long-term plans that outline how and where these areas should grow. And the importance of growth planning and the initiative that we've undertaken through the Ontario Growth Secretariat cannot be understated. It puts the province back where it rightfully should be, back in partnership with regions and with municipal leaders into the planning business, which is something that, when I was here over a year ago, you, stakeholders, and citizens said is something that should have happened many decades ago.